Today we're going to learn Daf Kaf Dalet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamapelet Guf Atum, Eini Mot Me'aleida. Now we're going to have all sorts of strange items continuing along things we've seen about a woman who miscarries fetus at an early stage of development. If it's a Guf Atum, or possibly defect with a defect. If it's a Guf Atum, it has no shape to it or no form on it. Then ein imot me'aleida. So we're going to see exactly what is this. Ezehu guf atum. Okay, maybe I didn't exactly translate it in the right words. We'll see exactly how they translate it. Rabbi Omer, kadeshi natel menachai v'yamut. It's a case where if it were to live the way it is, it's missing limbs. And if it were to survive in that, if it were to have lived in that way, it would never survive. V'kama, yinatel menachai v'yamut. So let's get specific. What does that mean? Rabbi Zakkai Omer, ara arkuva. Until the knee, okay, including the knee, if that's missing, then it's not going to survive. Rabbi Yane Omer, ad the nekevav, until its private parts, meaning like half the body. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Yoshua, ad makom taburo, until its navel. So we have three different opinions, to the knee, to the private parts, to half the body, or to the navel. So now let's see what the difference between them is. Beim Rabbi Zakkai, the Rabbi Yanai, those are the first two, ad arkuva, ad the nekevav. This goes back to a debate we've seen way back when in Chulin about whether a trefa can survive or not. So one of the simanim of a trefa in an animal that is sick in a particular way, which makes it not kosher meat if you even if you slaughter it, one of them is missing the leg, mina arkuva ulamata. So there's a debate which part of the leg, because there's two knees, so to speak, in animals. But whichever way, right, arar kuva is a psul, is a trefa. So the first opinion, Rabbi Zakkai says trefa is enachaya, which means that arar kuva, then if it's missing in the fetus, then it won't survive. Rabbi Yanai thinks, no, it will survive. It happens to be a trefa. He agrees that, but a trefa could potentially survive. Ben Rabbi Yana, the Rabbi Yochanan, Ika ben Ayu, the Rabbi Elazar. The difference between the second two opinions, Adn le Nekavav, or Makom Tiburo, is Da'amar, in others. And then we'd assume, I didn't spell this out, but that Rabbi Yana would say, well, if it's missing half the body already, then it won't survive. So, but then what's the difference between him and the one who says to the navel? So the disagreement with them is based on what Rabbi Elazar says. Da'amar Rabbi Elazar, Nital yerech v'chalal shela nevela. Again, going back to an animal, if it's missing its thigh, the whole thigh, and the space where the area where the thigh bone connects to the body, if it's missing all that, then it's a nevela. So then, how does that relate? That basically, that's basically half the body. So if you agree with Rabbi Elazar, then you'll say that that's the same thing. That since that now the idea here is, let's say you take out the yerech and the space where the yerech is, where the thigh is, and it's still moving around, we still consider that a nevela, and it's going to be mitame tuma nevela, right? Nevela is itself, it carries tuma. So Rabbi Yanai holds like Rabbi Elazar, and therefore he says, lamala minikavav is already going to, we're going to assume it's not a vlad, whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Elazar and doesn't think so, and therefore he says, ad makom tiburo. Amar Rav Papa, so now comes Rav Papa, and he says, Machloket milamata lamala. This is all, by the way, starting from parts of the body that are missing from the bottom and up. Aval milamala lamata, but if you go from the top of the head, and it's missing parts at the top, afilu kol dehu tahora. Even any amount, we're already going to say, this is not, a woman who miscarries the following item is not going to be tumat leida, because the top part of the body is much more essential. V'chein, right, one can't survive without it. V'chein amar Rav Gidol, amar Rav Yochanan, he said the same thing. Hamapelet et shagul galto atuma. If the skull is atum, imo tahora, the mother will be tahora, there's no din of leida. But no, we don't consider it dam leida. V'amar Rav Gidol, amar Rav Yochanan, hamapelet kemin afketa dedikla, imo tahora. If he gives birth to something that's like the branches of a dekel tree, so what do they mean by this? I don't know why this is what it means, but it means, right, what is a dekel tree? It's long and tall, a trunk, very long, tall trunk, and then out from the top, everything comes out. So instead of the arms and the legs coming normally, everything branches out from the top of the body, which would then be considered, again, that's something that we assume is not fetus that could ever have survived, so there's no tumah leida. Itmar. Hamapelet misha panav musmasim. Okay, if a woman miscarries a fetus where the face is all blurred, okay, the features are blurred. Rabbi Yochanan omer imot me'ah, Rish Lakish amar imot tahora. Okay, the first version of this is that the machloket between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to have two different versions of what their debate was. The first version is that it's panav musmasim, and Rabbi Yochanan says that that fetus could have survived, therefore she's tume'ah leida. She has to do all the stuff that a woman who gives birth would do, or miscarries a fetus that could have theoretically made it. And Rish Lakish amar imot tahora. So according to this version, Etiver Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, he brings the following source as a question. The following Tanaitic source. Hamapelet yad chatucha v'regel chatucha imot me'al eida. Ve'en choshashim shema miguf atum bata. If a woman miscarries a hand or a regel, you see a part of a body part come out of her body, so she's considered tum'at leida. We're not worried that maybe it came from a body that was atum, the thing we discussed at the beginning of the page. And if this were a possibility, that what? That according to Rish Lakish, what did he say? If panav musmasim is tahora, so you should have said, litni shema miguf atum o mi misha panav musmasim. Therefore, he says, this source seems to contradict, because it could have either come from a guf atum, or it could have come, if you see a hand come out, well, it's true, there's a fully formed hand, but maybe the face was blurred. The facial features and the face could have been blurred, which means that theoretically, if a yag comes out, right, you should have in theory been concerned for that, and therefore it should have said, well, she's tmeah leida anyway, and we're not worried it was a gufatum or panav musmasim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says it seems from that source that panav musmasim would actually be tmeah leida. Amar papi, now he has a different version of this whole machloket, bepanav musmasim kule amalo pligi ditmeah. Everyone agrees if the features, right, that's just a birth defect. That doesn't mean that the baby couldn't have survived. Ki pligi bepanav tuchot. What they're talking, their machloket is when the face has no features to it at all. It's kind of blank. Ve'ipcha itmar. And now the shitot, according to this version, are flipped. Rabbi Yochanan amar imo tahora. He says that's not a valid birth. Ve'rish Lakish amar imo tme'ah. She's going to have the impurity of tumat leida. Now the Gemara says, in this version, well, if Rish Lakish says imot me'at, then why don't we have it? V'lot ve'Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan me'ha. So now they say, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ask the following, Rish Lakish asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan, according to this, from the source that we saw about why didn't it say when the yad came out or the regal came out that maybe it came from panav tuchot, right? That's what it should have been in this case. It's kind of talking about panav tuchot. So what are the answer? Mishum deshanela, hainu guf atum, hainu misha panav tuchot. Because they say guf atum and panav tuchot basically means the same thing. It means a body without form, because it's missing parts, or it means a face without form. It's all the same thing, which means that saying guf atum is synonymous with panav tuchot, and it didn't need to actually spell it out. Bnei Rabbi Chia nafik l'kriyata. They came, they went out of the city to check out their fields, and while they went out, or when they came back, atu the kameda avu, and they went, when they got back home, they went to their father, amar lehem, klum bama aseli etchem. Did anything happen? Did anyone ask you any questions while you were out there in the fields? Okay, right, it's interesting, the rabbis leave their house, and I'm married to a rabbi, I know every time he walks on the street, someone asks him about a halachic question. That's one possibility. Some people say that actually, they came in having a heated discussion, and he says, oh, what was going on? What did someone ask you when you were out? Amrulo, they said to him, panav tuchot bali adenu viti manuha. There was a case where a baby had no features, you know, fetus came out with no features, and there was a miscarriage with this, and we said she was tame tumat leida. Now, according to what we saw in the second version, right, so Rabbi Yochanan says tehora, Rish Lakish says tme'ah. So either they're holding like Rish Lakish, or really panav tuchot, everyone agrees, is not a problem, and yet this wouldn't be leida, but yet they said timanua. So amar lahem, se'u v'taharu mashatimetem. He says, go fix what you did, you were totally wrong. Maida taichu, what did you think? L'chumra? In other words, we don't really paskin that way, so what were you doing? You were machmir? You said, well, Either they said, well, we don't know which way, and yet we're being machmir, or maybe they knew the halacha was that, but they said, let's be machmir anyway. Well, he says, you have to be careful when you're machmir, and this is an interesting thing to note, that sometimes when you're machmir, you could end up being mekel. So he says like this, chumra da'atya l'day kulahu. That's a chumra that could create a kula. Why? De'kayahavitula yemei tohach. What happens when a woman smells leida? So remember, so let's say they're machmir. Let's say we assume it wasn't really formed, so we don't really know. Well, maybe theoretically it could have been, we could have known it was male or female, but let's just assume we didn't know either. So we're going to be machmir and say 14 days of tumah, but then the next days until day 40 are going to all be dam tohar. And if she sees blood in those days, if it's tumat leida, so it'll be dam tohar, and she'll be allowed to her husband. When really, if you're being machmir and that's really not the halacha, well, then that will be dam nida. So so he basically says, big mistake that you made. Itmar, another machloket we're going to see. Hamapelet bria sheyesh ba shnei gavim u'shnei shidraot. And she gives birth to a creature that has two backs and two spines. Okay, this is a little odd. Could there really be such a thing? We're going to see they actually ask. It's a bit of a question. Could there really be such a thing? Is this a real species? Like there's a bit of a debate about Shmuel, who's going to say there is such a thing. Is it a separate species, which seems to be the way Rashi understands, or is it just a mutation of a species? It sounds a little like it could be Siamese twins even. So, which they didn't really, doesn't sound like they really knew about that, or maybe they did, maybe that's what it means. Amarav, bi'isha ein ovlad, bebehema asur b'achila. Ah, he says, well, this kind of creature could be born from a woman, could be, right, could happen in humans, and it could happen in animals. So if it's a woman, what's going to be the issue? Well, it's not considered a vlad, meaning she's not tohora, she's not tume'a tumat leida. She doesn't consider it a birth. Bebehema asur b'achila. Now, what does we mean here? If you shechted the mother, it's called a ben pekua, which means, right, when the fetus is inside, it's mutar without, you can eat it without shechting it. Well, it's going to be forbidden for eating. In this case, you can't eat it. Ushmuel amar bi'isha vlad bebehema mutar b'achila. He actually says no. In a woman, we're going to consider it a vlad. And in an animal, we're going to, let's say, yes, it's mutar b'achila. Bemai kamiflege, what's their machloket? B'derav chanim ba'aba. Their machloket is all about what Rav Chanim ba'aba said. Da'amo Rav Chanim ba'aba. Hashisua, bria sheyesh la shnei gavim v'shnei shidraot. Okay, we need some background for this. What's the background? The background is that in laws of kashrut, it comes up in two different places, also in Vayikra, also in Dvarim, about kosher and non-kosher animals, and it says what you can eat, and it says mafris parsa, shosha chesa, and then it tells you that there's certain animals that have those features or some of those features and you still can't eat them, like the gamal and the chazir, and there's a bunch listed there. But in the pasuk in Dvarim, instead of saying mafres parsa v'shosha chesa v'eta gamal, okay, here it says, I'm sorry, et asher tochlu lo, et asher, sorry, ach et ze lo tochelu, that's the pasuk in Vayikra. But in the pasuk in Dvarim, it says, in Dvarim, Perek Yudal, the pasuk Zayin, it says, "Ach et ze lo tochlu mimaaleh gera mimafrisei parsa." And in the parallel pasuk in Vayikra, it then said, "Et hagamal ve'et ha'arnevet." But in this case, it says, "Mimafrisei parsa hashisua." Now, the word ashisua comes up when it talks about things you can't eat, or things you can't eat. It says mafrisa parsa v'shosa chesa. So the pshat is that it's just part of the mafrisa parsa hashisua. But other people say, no, look, this doesn't come up in the parallel pasuk in Vayikra. There's this added word. There must be some sort of bria, creature called the shisua. And what is the shisua? So there's a debate among Tanakama. It actually comes up in the Sifrei. Seems to be a debate about this. Tanakama says it has three simanim. In other words, there's ma'ale geram, mafrise parsa, and shisua. Those are simanim of kosher animals. But Abba Hanan says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that shisua is a min chaya. Okay? It's a type of animal. So what's this shisua? So now our Gemara comes to say, right? Derama Rav Chanim bar Abba, they quote him as saying, the shisua is a bria sheyesh la shnei gabim u'shnei shidraot. That is a shisua. So now, how does this have to do with our machloket? So they both agree with Rav Chanin Bar Abba about the Shesua, but their debate is what exactly it is. Okay, so now we're going to see. Rav Amar, Bria Ba'alma Leita, there really is no such thing. Okay, it can't survive. If there were to be something like this, it would never make it. And because the Torah taught Moshe about this, what were they talking about if there really is no such creature that could exist like this? They were talking about in utero. Okay, then there could potentially be such a thing. It would just never survive. Okay, and then he's telling you that if you were to shech this, you couldn't eat it. Ushmuel amar bria ba'alma ita. There really is such a creature. V'chi agmarei rachmana l'moshe ba'alma agmarei. Okay, it's teaching to Moshe that you can't eat this if it were to live. But avav me'ema sharia. But when it came to in utero, if you slaughtered the animal and it was in utero, you'd actually be able to eat it. And that's why he says it's mutar ba'achila. So etivei rav shimi barchia l'rav. Okay, Shimi Bar Chiya was the son of Rav, so Shimi Bar Chiya was his grandson. So he asked the following question on Rav from the following source. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Kol sheyesh lo shnei kabim u'shtei shedraot, pasul la'avoda. Here we're talking about laws of a bechor. If you have a bechor who has shnei kabim and shtei shedraot, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. It's considered a baal mum. So what do you see from this? Alma dechaye. That seems to show that it could survive, which means, Rav, you said this kind of thing can't survive, and look, it can survive. Here's something you see interesting about Gemara in general, which is that you can have a grandson question his grandfather, not only just any regular grandfather, but his grandfather was Rav, one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, and yet he has no problem asking questions, right? In the world of Gemara, you're allowed to ask questions to anybody, really. Questions are always invited. So Amarle, Shimiat, he says, okay, now there's three ways of reading Shimiat, at least three. I'll give you three. Shimiat is a way of saying, ah, my lovely grandson Shimi. Okay, that's one. Shimiat is saying, wow, you're super smart, Shimi. You're so brilliant. Or Shimiat, some people say that he used to keep his head down and he was trying to say Shimiat, are you Shimi? Like, I just want to make sure before I answer you, I'm identifying who you are. There's different ways of understanding it. And he says, it's nice that you asked that question, but I have a good answer for you. What's my answer? Sheshidrato akuma. There, when Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus was talking about a bechor that could have shnei kabim and shtei shedraot, it was a figment of his imagination, an optical illusion almost. It looked like he had it. Okay? There, his back was curved in such a way that it looked like he had two shedraot, and that kind of animal could survive. But when I was talking about shnei gabim and shtei shedraot, I was talking about one that actually has, and that really can't exist. Meitivei. Now we're going to have a question on Shmuel. That was a question on Rav. Now a question on Shmuel. Yesh be'ubarin shehen asurin. Okay, there's ubarim that are forbidden, mishum nevela, which means you can't ever slaughter them. What are they? Ben arba'a ledaka. Okay, whether they're born at 4 months for a behemah daka. If you remember, we learned this in Chulin, that the gestation period for a small animal is 5 months. That's how long the mother's pregnant with its young one. Ben shmona legasa, okay, 8 months for a large animal, because really it's 9 months, the gestation period. So if it's 4 months, right, was born after 4 months for a daka, meaning a month too early, or shmona legasa, a month too early, hemena ulamata asur. Okay, anything less than that is, right, that and less is forbidden. It's not considered a ben kayama, so you can't slaughter it. Yatsa misha yesh lo shnei gabin u'shtei shidraot. Okay, so then, excluded from this is one that has two gabin and two shidraot. Now, it's not exactly clear, excluded from what and what are we referring to. So, remember, we're bringing this as a question on Shmuel, who says that you can actually eat an animal, right, a ben pekur, something that was and that one could actually exist. So, ma yatsa, what does it mean, yatsa mishen lo? Lav yatsa michlal ubarin. This isn't even considered an ubar, shafilu b'me'eimo asurin, which would then question Shmuel. So now they're going to say, Rav mitaretz l'tame, u'shmuel mitaretz l'tame. Either which way you can explain this, Rav can explain it his way, Shmuel can explain it his way. Rav mitaretz l'tame, ben arba'a l'daka ben shmona l'gasa, hemenu l'mata asur, במה דברים אמורים? When do we refer to the fact that these are אסורים? כשיצא לאוויר העולם, when they're actually born. אבל במעי אמו שווה. But if they're in utero and you slaughter the mother, that's fine. Yatsa, other than, which case is an exception to that rule, that in utero they're okay, a ben pekua? Ah, mi sheyesh lo shnei gavim v'shei shedraot. Ta'afilu b'me'ei mo, nami asur, that even if they're in their mother's womb, they're still going to be forbidden. Ushmua mitaretz l'ta'ame, ben arba'a l'daka, ben shmona l'gasa, himenu ulamata asur, b'med v'arim amurim b'shelo kalu lo chadashav. This is if it doesn't reach full gestation period. Aval kalu lo chadashav, but if it reaches full gestation period, 5 months or 9 months, mutar, then it'll be permitted. Yatsa, what's the exception to the rule? Mi sheyesh lo shnei gavim u'shtei shidraot. Da'af agav dekalu lo chadashav, im yatsa la'avir ha'olam asur. But it won't be permitted if, right, that all those animals, if they reach their full period, they'll be permitted other than the one with shtei gavot u'shtei shidraot. That won't be permitted. However, what was the whole thing Shmuel matired? If it was still in utero and you slaughtered the mother, it would be allowed. So, b'me'eimo, share. However, if it's still in the womb, it will be permitted, even if it has shnei gavim u'shtei shidraot, and therefore that source doesn't contradict Shmuel. Tane tana kame d'rav. The following person brought a braita in front of Rav. The braita went like this. Hamapelet b'riat guf she'eno chatuch, u'b'riat rosh she'eno chatuch. If you bring, if someone miscarries a body that's not cut out, meaning the body parts aren't shaped, or a rosh that's not also not formed, you might have thought it's tmea tumat leida. Talmud lomar isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachal u'bayom ha'shmini yimo basar orlato. You ever notice the connection there in Parshat Tazriya? What does it say? She's mazria, in other words, the seed goes into her body and she gives birth to a male. And ubayom ha'shmini yimo basar olato, you give him a brit milah. So what do they say here? And then it talks about dinei tum'ah of leida. It talks right there about how many days, and there's a connection between the brit milah and her tum'ah and tahara days, the dam tum'ah and the dam tohar. So what's the connection? In other words, you're only going to be tameh if you give birth to a baby who can actually have a brit after 8 days. Yatsu elu she'enam ru'uyin lebrit shmona. But anyone who's not going to survive 8 days, or you know, is not going to be able to have a brit milah because they're not viable fetus, well, that's exception to the rule. So Amar le Rav, and then Rav added, when the Tana brought this braita, v'siyem b'hachi, and you should finish with the following words. In other words, you missed the end of the braita. The braita that you just taught should end with v'sheyesh lo shnei gavim u'shnei shidraot. In other words, there Rav is going l'shitato, and he says you should add the following, that kind of birth, right, that will never survive. It will never ever breach shmona, and therefore there's no tumat leida if a woman miscarries. And she can only miscarry something that if it had survived, it would have. Right, it's a little weird thing because generally, if it miscarries, it's something that is not meant to be viable. But they understood that there were fetuses that just something goes wrong for some reason and it would have been viable theoretically versus ones that wouldn't have been viable. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba savar lemea bad uvda kavate de Shmuel. Okay, he wanted to paskin like Shmuel. Okay, and now what happened? Amar le Rav Huna. Okay, he wanted to paskin about tumat leida. Again, we have a case where we're going to say there was a vlad with shnei gavim and shtei shidraot. This is just like the case where those two brothers went out into the field and they were matame. They said, oh yeah, you should be tumat leida. Also here, they wanted to do like Shmuel. So again, we're going to have the same reaction. Amar le Rav Huna, mai da'atech lechumra, chumra da'ati l'de kulahu, dekayavi la deme tohar. Again, you're going to end up with this dam tohar you're giving her. It's going to end up being a chumra that ends up being a kula. Avib mia, and, or also, he says to him, Avib mia kavate de rav, de kaimalan hilchata karav isura, bain lekula, bain lechumra. And furthermore, he says, forgetting about that, you should paskin like Rav because we have principles, there's general principles about Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were in the first generation of Amoraim, and they argued about a lot of things. And we generally hold like Rav when it comes to Isur Veheter, and Tuma and Tara falls into Isur Veheter. And we paskin like Shmuel when it comes to Dinei Mamonot. So here we're talking about Isurim. we paskin like Rav, whether it's the kula, whether it's the chumra, so you definitely shouldn't be metame her tuma deme leida. Amar Rava, harei amru, isha yoledet litisha, v'yoledet lishiva. Okay, now we get to something that we've discussed many times before. But if you're new to the Gemara, you won't, maybe don't aren't as familiar. There was a belief among the rabbis, which doesn't prove true nowadays, that a woman gives birth either 7 months after she gets pregnant or 9 months. But if she gives birth to a baby after 8 months, okay, there was this belief, 8 month babies are not viable, but 7 month babies are viable. There's two different types of babies. There's ones that are born after 7 months, and there's one that are born after 9 months. I'm not sure where they had this from. But if it's 8 months, it's not going to be viable. So now they want to know, it's a very interesting question. We talked before about comparing the woman and the animal, right? When we talked about this Shnei Gabim and Shtei Shitarot. So now they're going to say, so we know that Isha Yoledet Litisha and Yoledet Lishiva, right? But not Shmona. But a Behema Gasa Yoledet Litisha, a Behema Gasa that Yoledet Litisha, do we have the same concept by an animal that there could be 7 month animal and a 9 month animal and not an 8 month? Olo. Olo yalda. Or does it not give birth? Is it not like humans in that way? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tashmai says, let's learn from here. Hemena ulamata asur. Okay. So this is that you need the background to this braita. That it's what we saw before about there's ubarim that are right that are 4 months and 8 months, right? So it's 4 months for dakah and 8 months for gasa. We're going to say they're asuim b'achila because those are considered nevela. They're not going to survive. And it says, hey, mena ulamata asur. From there and back, it's asur. So there they had 8 months for the 9 month, right? And it seems to indicate anything up to 8 months previously, right? And not including 7 months. So my lava gasa, is it not, when it says himena ulamata asur, does it not mean for the bema gasa, for the 8 month and go all the way back? So they say lo adaka. No, theoretically it could be referring to, right, it said there were two things in that braita. There was the 4 month and the 8 month. So you could say that the himena ulamata was referring to the 4 month, but the 8 month, theoretically, maybe 7 months would survive. So now the Gemara doesn't like that and they say, what do you mean? Hi, mai. Iyamart bishlama. If you're going to say bishlama gasa, that it was referring to the gasa, it's trich. I understand why you need to say hemenu lamata, because sakadata chamina, ho ilu bisha chaye, bebema nami chaye, kamash malan de lo chaye. I'd understand that you need to tell us, and from there earlier, right, it also won't survive. I get it, and the animal, that's 9 months, because 8 months, no, and not even 7 months, different from humans. But if it's referring to an animal that has a gestation period of 5 months, and you're going to say 4 months, itmar, if you want to say it's referring to the daka, pshita batzlata yarche mikachaye. Would anyone even think that for 3 months would be enough and that an animal could survive after a 3 month pregnancy? It doesn't make any sense if it was born after 3 months. So what do they say? So therefore, it makes more sense to say it's dafka time about the gasa, which answers our question. No, it can't survive. Not like human. So they say, no, even in a daka, you could say it's referring to the daka. It's chsagadata chamina kol b'tzir treyarche chaye. You might have thought that anything, right, it's like x minus 2. Okay, so if it's 9, it's 7. If it's 5, it's 3. So you might have thought it applies across the board anywhere. Kamash malan, that not. So therefore, we don't end up with an answer to this question about whether animals could survive after 7 months or theoretically even after 3 months if it was for the small animals. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hamapelet Dmut Lilit. Okay, you know, Lilit is a very famous demon. Okay, so if you give, what's a demon? Demon generally has a human-like figure but with wings. So if a woman miscarries something that looks like Lilit, okay, which is a winged creature, Imot Me'al Leida. Okay, so she's Tmei'a Leida, because Vlad hu, Ela sheyesh lo knafayim. It's basically a Vlad with wings. Okay, so we treat that as a Vlad. Tanya Namihachi, Braita to support this, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maaseh b'Simoni, city, or an area in Israel, Be'achat sheyipila dmut lilit, Uba maaseh lefnei chachamim. Actually, it happened, right? If you wonder, did these cases ever really happen? Because they seem incredibly theoretical. Here it seems to say it did. Va'amu Vlad hu, Ela sheyesh lo knafayim, and therefore it's Tumat Leida. something very interesting here. The Rambam is known to have the rationalistic approach to Shadim. He doesn't really believe in Shadim, and even though the Gemara mentions them, he says they're not, right? They're just meant to be a mashal. They don't really mean anything. And when he quotes the Salacha, he says he ignores the word Lilit, and he says she's mapelet, a dmut with knafayim. Okay, and ignores the word Lilit in going with the, you know, the Rambam is consistent with his approach that there's no such thing as Shadim, and therefore he ignores that. Hamapelet dmut nachash. If she miscarries something that looks like a snake, Hore Chanina ben Achiv shel Rabbi Yoshua. That's a really interesting story. So Chanina, the son, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua, says, Imo Tmea Leida. Okay? The mother is Tmea Leida. So now what happened here? This is a little tallow telling here or something like that. Halach Rabbi Yosef v'siper dvarav lifnei Rabban Gamliel. Okay, he told Rabban Gamliel that Chanina taught this, that if a woman gives birth to a snake-like creature or miscarries a snake-like creature, the mother is Tmea Leida. Told it to Rabban Gamliel, Shalach lo, sends to Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, and this is, why is this interesting? Because Rabbi Yoshua, remember, he sends to Rabban, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabban Gamliel clashed often. Okay, so this is the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua. So he sends to Rabbi Yoshua and he says, Hanheg ben achicha ubo, ubo. In other words, bring your nephew to me, right? Come with him and bring him before me. It sounds very much like come on the day that you say it's Yom Kippur with your makel and your tamil in your hand. I'm not very pleased with you that he passed in this way, and I'm assuming you assume responsibility. Now, what was he upset about? The assumption is, and we'll see from the end of the story, seems he was upset because he didn't understand how Chanina, this young, notice he's called Chanina, he's not even called Rabbi Chanina at this point, he was young, and he just says this halacha as if he's making up his own halacha and not saying it in the name of anybody else, and it seems like, why is he saying this? But, interestingly, here we're going to have a woman who kind of saves the story. Behalichatan yetzta kalat Chanina likrato. Okay, so it's Chanina's daughter-in-law. Chanina's daughter-in-law comes out to greet him on his way, and as he passes by their house on the way, and the daughter-in-law comes out to greet him, Amralo, Rebbe, hamapele kemin nachash mahu. She says, what's the law about hamapele kemin nachash? Amarlo, Amarla imo tohora. So he says the mother's tohora, meaning against, right? Rabbi Chanina said the imo is tmea, and paskin that way. And she asked Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua says to her, imo tohora. So Amra lo, this very smart woman, says, v'halom ishimcha amra li chamoti, but my mother-in-law told me, meaning Rabbi Chanina's wife, told me that in your name, imo tmea. She told me that you yourself said, she's tmea. V'amar la, me'eze tam. And he said to her, what's the reason? Ho il v'galgal eno agol kishel adam. So she said, Rabbi Yoshua said, you know, what's the reason for this halacha? And she said, well, when I asked my, you know, Chanina's wife, she told me that the reason is, and we saw this before, that the I, right, looks like it's round like an Adam. Mitoch tvareha nizkar Rabbi Yoshua. All of a sudden, Rabbi Yoshua remembered. He forgot that he had taught that. He all of a sudden remembered. You can imagine why he forgot this halacha. It's not the most common halacha. It doesn't come up in everyday life. He totally forgot that he had done it. She had asked the mother-in-law and her mother-in-law remembered that Rabbi Yoshua, she knew that Rabbi Yoshua had taught it, and she knew exactly the reason why. Shalach lo l'Rabban Gamliel mipi hora Chanina. So all of a sudden, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabban Gamliel, he says, we don't need to come to you. He sends him a messenger to say, listen, we don't need to come before you, right? You know, I can save us from this humiliating experience, because it wasn't like he just said it on his own. He actually said it in my name. I just didn't remember. So what's the punchline of the story? Amar Abaye, Shma Mina, Tzurva Merabanan to Amar Milta, Lema Beitama, Dechi Midkaru Le Midkar. Next time, if you're a Talmid Chacham and you want to say something, you're a student particularly, you should give the reason. Because if you give the reason, then you'll remind people of it. Because sometimes they don't remember every halacha, and this is a good explanation for why one should learn Gemara, because you should learn the reason behind things. If you understand the reason behind things, you'll learn them better. Remember, I always used to go to the pediatrician with my kids, and the doctor used to laugh at me that I always asked a million questions and I wanted to understand. Like, he'd say, this is what it is. And I'd say, how do you know? But, you know, and I always asked him, and he used to make fun of me. But the more you understand it, the more you'll be able to internalize it and remember. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamapelet shvir malei mayim, malei dam, malei gnunim, ena choshesha livlad. Okay, she gives birth to a little sack. And in the sack, it's full of water, or full of blood, or full of different colors. That's what seems to be the main opinion of what exactly gnunim is. And it's not, so she's not choseshet levlad. V'im hayam merukam, and that's obviously, if there's blood, well then she'll have to do dmei nida, especially if there's blood coming out with it. If there's blood in the sack, remember there was a homachloket, if it doesn't actually touch her body. Does it have to be bivsara? V'im hayam merukam, if it was already, okay, then the assumption is merukam, it's already merukam 40 days into the pregnancy, okay, into the, when she's pregnant for 40 days, 40, that's the cutoff, that's when its parts start to be formed inside, then teshev lazachar l'nekeva, then she needs to wait the days of demei leida, again, depending on whether she knows it's zachar l'nekeva, otherwise, if she doesn't know, then you'll have to just wait, you know, assuming the chumrot of both. Hamapelet sandal o shelia teshev lazachar nekeva. She gives birth to a sandal, which we're going to see exactly what that is. It seems like the, well, we're going to learn, we'll see this in the Gemara, I'll already tell you, a sandal is when the, it basically means it's flat, like it doesn't have features to it, and it's because there was another, there were twins, and one kind of kicked the other and smushed the face in, and it doesn't have features, you know, a little strange. O shelia, or a shilia, a placenta, teshev lazachar nekeva. Then we assume there was a fetus there and you have to wait for the zachar nekeva. We're going to deal a lot with this sandal down the road. Bishlam adam umayim lo klumui. So I get the dam in mayim. That's nothing. Ela gnunim nichushem avlad ayav enimoch. It's there, maybe there was a vlad and it dissolved. Amar Abaye, there's a good line. Kama yayin chai shatat imosh al zeh shenimoch ubara betoch me'eha. If something comes out with all these color, like a mix of colors inside, it has to be, she must have drunk an absolute sick amount of undiluted wine, to, right? Undiluted wine means it's super, super strong in order for something to come out looking like this. So basically, it's not possible. There's no way. But his way of saying there's no way, it's interesting because, you know, we know now people say you shouldn't drink too much wine when you're pregnant. And here there's a correlation also in the Gemara. They talk about it, that she drank too much, it would cause this. But he was basically saying it is an exaggeration, meaning there's no way you could, no matter how much wine she drank, it would never create this kind of concoction. Can't possibly be that what you see there is a dead baby. Rava Amar Maletnan. He says the case is where it was totally full. If it had dissolved in it, it wouldn't have been a totally full sack. Almost like a water balloon full of water. You know, there's no room. It would have been crushed a little and there would be some space in there. Rav Adbar Ava Amar Gnunim Tnan. It would have been all one shade. It wouldn't have been this mix of colors. Okay, so they're all trying to give reasons why Gnunim is not a problem. Tanya. Abba Shaul Omer. Now we get to the end of today's daf, which is all sorts of interesting stories, seemingly off topic. We'll have to try to see if we can connect them. Abba Shaul Omer, Kover Metim Ayiti. I was the person who buried dead people. Now, what was a Kover Metim in those days? They would put the body in the, if you ever went to Beit Sharim, where they have the Kuchim, the Ma'arot, the caves, burial caves. So what they would do is first they would bury them in the ground. They would wait till the flesh disintegrated. Then there was the guy, and that's who's the Kover Metim. He would collect the bones, and then he would put them in the caves. Okay, after the flesh had disintegrated. So he's the guy who collects the bones. V'hayiti mistakel ba'atzamot shel metim. He would, when he would collect the bones, he knew whose they belonged to. And he knew the people who they were when they were alive. And he would say, oh, look at his bones. And look, I know what he did in his life. And I can see the effects of this kind of behavior on bones. So he's going to tell us all sorts of interesting things about bones. Hashotei yayin chai. If you drink undiluted wine, atzmotav surfin. Okay, the assumption is that this comes about because of Abaye's statement about if you drink all this undiluted wine, this is what's going to happen to you. So if you drink undiluted wine, your bones become burnt. Okay, they burn. Mazug, if you drink a lot of diluted wine, atzmotav schuyin. They become blackened. Karaoy, if you drink the right amount, atzmotav meshuchin. Then they're in good shape. They're kind of fat and thick and, you know, still moist. B'chom mishashtiyato meruba me'achilato. And furthermore, if you drink more than you eat, atzmotav srufin. Your bones are going to be burnt. Achilato meruba mishtiyato. If you eat too much, atzmotav srufin. They're black. Kara'oi atzmotav meshuchin. Okay, he's basically saying, have balance in your life, right? Don't do too much, don't do too little. Tanya, another braita. Abishahol omer v'item rabbi Yochanan. Here the story gets a little weirder. Kover metim ayiti. Okay, I was a guy who was kover metim. By the way, this can't be Rabbi Yochanan the Emorah that we usually meet because we're talking Tanaitic times. Kover metim ayiti. Pam achad ratzti achar tzvi. I ran after a deer, right? Which, think about it, a deer is super fast, right? Try a human running after a deer. V'nechnasti bekulit shalmet. And I ended up, while I was running after him, because he was dealing with bones all the time, he ended up in the, like, it was like a tunnel of a bone, made out of a bone. I ended up running through this dead bone. Viratz, the kulit is the leg bone. Viratz yacharav shalosh parsaot. And I ran three parsaot, which is, each parsa is about 8,000 amot. It's a huge, okay, he ran this whole length in the kulit of the dead person, right? It's obviously an exaggerated story. That would have to be a really long bone. We'll see in a minute. Utzvi lo higati. And I couldn't catch up to the deer. Vikulit lo kalta. And the kulit still was going as far as I went. Kishachazarti la horai. When I kind of turned around, amruli, or I came out of it, like out of the kulit, amruli shel og melech habashan haita. It was Og's bone. Remember, he was the leftover, the last of the giants. Okay, he was one of the giants. Where were the giants from? The giants were born from, if you remember that story at the very end of Sefer Bereishit, of the Bnei Elohim came and slept with the Benota Adam. And then they had these, the Anakim were born from them, which is clearly inappropriate, right? The Bnei Elohim is supposed to be up in the heavens. They're not supposed to come down to earth and marry the Benota Adam. And it was this merging of the heavens and the earth, which was not supposed to happen. And it was considered a bad thing. And these Anakim were born from there. Okay, so next story. Tanya, Abishaul omer, kover metim ayiti, pam achad niftecha ma'ara tachtai. All of a sudden, a cave opened underneath me, like the roof fell in. V'amadati b'golgal eino shalmet. And I ended up in the eye socket of a mate. Remember, we were talking about eye sockets before. Ad chotami. And I ended up standing in the eye socket up until the nose. Kishachazarti l'acharai amru, ayin shal avshalom hayta. When I turned around or kind of walked out of it, I realized they told me that it was the eye of Avshalom. Notice, why is the eye of Avshalom important? So first of all, in Avshalom's story, there's two things about Avshalom that are interesting. If you want to compare it to the previous story, it was a not proper relationship there between the Benot Elohim and the Bnei Adam. The Bnei Elohim and the Benot Adam. Also, in the Avshalom story, David marries Ma'achabat Talmai Bat Melech Gashur from the Shevi. She was a Yifat Toar, which is also not exactly, I mean, it's allowed in the Torah, but frowned upon. And the other thing about the eyes of Avshalom, it says about Avshalom, first of all, Avshalom also wanted to sleep with the Pilakshim of his father, also some inappropriate sexual relations. And it says about him, Natan einav b'mashe eino shelo. Right? That's one of the things about him, that he wanted to, you know, wanted to get things that weren't his. So again, his eyes are considered, you know, the bad part of him. V'shema tamar, okay, so now, the question is, so first of all, he falls into this thing, and only when he gets out of it does he see. Both of these things, I think, are talking a little bit about perspective. Like when you're in something, you don't realize. Like he was running, chasing this deer, and only when he got out of it did he realize why wasn't he getting anywhere? Because he was stuck in this bone of Og Melech HaBashan. Again, the story, it's a weird story. Also, he fell into the nose. He didn't even realize what he was in until he got out of it. And that sometimes you need perspective on things. And I thought maybe in the sugya of miscarriages, I think, you know, if we really address it head on, that what we're talking about in all these sugyot is women having miscarriages. And there's very little, discussion about the women themselves and what they're going through, right? It's all about just, okay, are they tamei lidah, are they not? And this story gives a little bit, you know, sometimes you're in some bad situation that you can't really get out of. And sometimes what you need is to step back and get perspective. So I thought that maybe that was an idea that can come out of here. Now, the last thing the Gemara is going to deal with is, how could he have been inside the eye? And as he fell into the eye up until the nose, was he teeny? Shema tamar Abishaul nanasaya. Was he a midget? So they say, if you think that, oh no. Abishaul aroch b'dorohaya. He was the giant of his generation. Rabbi Tarfon Miguel Ktefo. Okay, now we're going to have all of a sudden about how great he was. Rabbi Tarfon only got up to his shoulder. Rabbi Tarfon Aroch B'doro Hava, but he was so great in his generation, he was the greatest in his generation, for Rabbi Meir Magia L'Ktefo. And the next generation, Rabbi Meir only got up to his shoulder. Rabbi Meir Aroch B'doro Hava, for Rabbi Magia L'Ktefo. Rabbi Aroch B'doro Hava, for Rabbi Chia Magia L'Ktefo. This is what we call Hidar Derut HaDorot, right? That as the generations went on, people got, right, the greatest of that generation only got up to the shoulder of the previous generation. Wait, it's going to get even worse, though. Rabbi Chia Aroch B'doro Hava, Rav Megia L'Ktefo. Rav only got up to his shoulders. Rav Aroch B'doro Hava, Rabbi Yehuda Megia L'Ktefo. Rabbi Yehuda Aroch B'doro Haya, now you're ready for the change? V'Adadayla, oh no, oh, not yet. Adadayla Megia L'Ktefo. Okay, he was the guy who was the Shamash of the Chachamim. Parshatavina de Pumbedita, this was a guy in the city, that was his name. Kaile la adadaile abpalge, all of a sudden, he only got up to half his height, forget about his shoulder. The Kule Alma and the rest of the world, Kaile Parshatavina de Pumbedita ad harte, they only got up to his waist only. And this is basically showing how, right, it's basically lining up who were the greatest people of each generation and how in each generation it kind of got lower and lower and lower.